Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello. Hello. Welcome. It's me, Jesse, and this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station way up here on Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples. We've been here gathering, sharing stories, talking to each other, sharing music, singing songs, making art, being creative, building culture, and otherwise just existing and maintaining relations since time immemorial, since a time before any of us can remember any of us. And as I do my work here at SFU, at CJSF, on SFU's Burnaby campus, I keep that in mind, and I try to use that as the lens through which I do my work and I approach my work, and I hope that you can incorporate that into your day-to-day as well. Today on the program, we've got a bunch of things, as we usually do, as I usually do. There will be some music. I've got some talk pieces from myself, from Danny. And partway through the show, I'll be joined by Albert, the VP Events for the SFSS, Simon Fraser Student Society, to talk about the Pride Fair that is today. It is Pride Week in Burnaby right now. The Burnaby Pride Festival is on Saturday. The flag-raising event happened earlier this week. Danny attended. And next weekend is Vancouver's Pride Parade and Festival. We, of course, celebrate Pride Month in June, as do many organizations and people across the country, the world. But here in Vancouver, the greater Vancouver area, the longstanding tradition of having it sort of over the August long weekend, and here in Burnaby the weekend before, which I think is great because, you know, you don't need to just celebrate Pride for one weekend a year or one month a year. It's good to spread it out and just celebrate as much as we can. So we'll get to some of that. We'll get to the talking. We'll do all those things. But of course, we're going to start with a little bit of local music. And this track is by Yon, who are number one on the CJSF charts this past week. Well-deserved. The new record, Wish I Could Have, is really great. Fabulous dream pop. And I was on my walk, was it yesterday? No, I didn't have the walk yesterday because I walked home from the bus. Must have been Tuesday. Anyway, I was walking down Wall Street and I walked right past Julia of Yon. Both of us deeply embedded in conversation, waved at each other as we passed. Anyway, that pinned it in my mind, and the fact that this artist, Yon, is great and top on the charts here at CJSF just gave me another push to do that. So we're going to hear the title track from the record, Wish I Could Have, by Yon.
Just keep losing.
Wish I Could Have by Yon, the title track off the new record, which is the number one record on CJSF's weekly charts, which you can find at cjsf.ca or our social platforms or earshot.online for national charts, including our own. This is me, Jesse, on Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Up next, I'm going to play you a different version of a story that you heard on the program, this program, last week, about the Pomo Museum and their junior archaeology workshops, which are coming up this weekend. That's right, Saturday and Sunday, the 26th and 27th. Check them out. I'm just realizing that the version I have has the wrong dates, so I'm just going to fix that really quickly. Don't worry, it won't take a second. If I were not to have told you, you probably would not have even realized that there was any delay at all, but here we are in the magic of community radio, doing things a little bit rough around the edges, because that's who we are here at CJSF. And you know what? Here we go. Without any further ado, learn about some cool archaeology workshops from me. Mention archaeology, and you're likely to elicit thoughts of Indiana Jones swapping golden idols for bags of sand, or Drs. Grant and Statler painstakingly uncovering dinosaur fossils with paintbrushes. But neither is an accurate portrayal of the discipline. For one, the study of dinosaurs and their fossils actually falls under the science of paleontology.
while Dr. Jones' globe-trotting antics are a throwback to an antiquated, treasure-hunting-focused idea of archaeology as a field of study, one that the discipline was actively distancing itself from long before the films reintroduced and popularized it with mainstream audiences. These days, archaeologists describe their profession like this.
Archaeology is a subset of anthropology. Archaeology deals with humans who have passed away and the materials that they've left behind, and we're trying to learn about them from what remains.
That's Ashley Chamberlain, museum assistant at the Pomo Museum in Port Moody, British Columbia, where a new series of junior archaeology workshops aims to introduce archaeology to a new generation of curious minds.
So it's really getting, I think, starting at a younger age of, you know, what is archaeology and getting kids interested in it, because I think a lot of people are interested in it and they just don't really understand that it's archaeology that they're interested in. So it's getting them to, you know the basics of, like, how do we look for things in the field, as well as understanding the importance of it here in BC and how it's used to assist First Nations in solidifying their land claims, as well as just kind of letting people give it a try.
Beyond being introduced to the concept and fundamentals of archaeology, participants will also get hands-on experience with some of the nitty-gritty day-to-day activities that an archaeologist might be tasked with.
They're going to be doing some sifting activities and doing some mini little EU kits, excavation unit, I should say, as well as just like as a fun one at the end of putting some pottery together and, you know, doing that conservation preservation aspect of it. Because what do we do once we take them out of the ground? Well, we gotta fix them up. So just trying to get people a good idea of, like, what this is and maybe pique their interest.
As Chamberlain explains, archaeology is a growing industry, particularly in BC.
It's kind of another way of getting people interested in it because archaeology is such a relevant industry in BC.
That's because of the role archaeology plays in all new construction across the province.
It has to be done with every construction project. So whether it's remote or if it's in the city, it's happening. It's happening everywhere. The Heritage Conservation Act requires that archaeology be done on any land that has not already been surveyed, and that's most of BC. There were no surveys done or checking for archaeological sites really anywhere prior to the 80s, at least recording it properly and on a system. So it's important that we go around and we have to check the ground underneath before we start building anything else up. So it's really important that we go in there and we look and we make sure that there aren't any archaeological sites. And then you kind of assess from there of, like, can we preserve this or are we going to move it? That's normally the deciding factor. Like, is it more important that we build a road here? Or, okay, if that's the case, then we need to move these materials elsewhere to be preserved because this is an archaeological site. So it's making sure that we're preserving Indigenous history while still, I guess, progressing and moving the city in the ways that it needs to go as populations rise. But it's really just ensuring that Indigenous history is taken care of and preserved properly.
This means that beyond a field of academic study, archaeology can also be a busy, rewarding career path.
There are so many jobs. When I told my parents I wanted to switch to archaeology, my mom was so concerned about the job market for me. And then she looked into it and she went, oh, there's a lot you can do. There totally is. There's so many cultural resource management companies in BC. A good chunk of them are owned by First Nations themselves. I used to work for a First Nations company. But there's so many people out here wanting to do this work because things are moving all the time. And a lot of the times we're reassessing and looking for ark sites that maybe not even a house is getting built there. It's just to check. It was sacred to these people, and now we want to go check it. So there's all work going on all the time, just in the field. That's not including, you know, academics. That's not working with collections. That's just strictly the field. So there's a lot you can do with an archaeology degree.
So if you're curious about digging around in the dirt and learning about people from the things they leave behind, Chamberlain has this message.
It's going to be really fun and really cool. That's my little dorky ask. I don't know. I think a lot of people don't realize what archaeology is. And I think it's because it's such a relevant industry, like, get to know what's going on in BC. This is a great way to learn. Just give it a try. Like, if it's something you're curious about, give it a try. You might like it. The biggest thing I was told when I first went into archaeology was give it a try. You may not like it. Not everyone likes sitting out in the sun all day digging holes. It's, for most of my friends, their favorite thing to do all day. I get pictures all the time of them in the field. But just give it a try. I think it's also useful for students at SFU if they're not able to afford a field school and do those classes that are involved with it. We're kind of going to try and simulate that here. So just give it a go. See if you are okay digging through dirt layer by layer and assessing things and using your mind to try and figure out what's going on. See if that's actually an interest of yours. So if you're interested in archaeology, this is a great way to just see if you like it.
The Junior Archaeology Workshops run Saturday and Sunday, July 26th and 27th at noon at the Pomo Museum at 2734 Murray Street in Port Moody. You can email info@pomo.museum to sign up or visit pomo.museum for more information. From Port Moody, for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, I'm Jesse Wensloff. This story is made possible by support from the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative and can be found online with stories from across the country at frequencynews.ca.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and you just heard my piece about the Pomo Museum's Junior Archaeology Workshops. Once again, you can go to pomo.museum to find out more about those and sign up if they still have space. Those workshops are this weekend. As a graduate of SFU's archaeology program, I can only encourage you to go check it out. You might like it. You might hate it. I spent a little bit of time digging in the dirt and decided it wasn't for me and that I'd rather be here at the radio station, but that doesn't mean that you won't fall in love with it. So yeah, go do that. Check it out. This is, as I mentioned, Speak Up. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we were going to be hearing from a representative from the Simon Fraser Student Society about their Pride Fair, which is happening today here on SFU's Burnaby campus. So that'll be coming up in the second half of the show. That is happening this week because it is Pride Week in Burnaby. And so let's hear this piece from Danny Nesvedarani, our very own community journalist, about Pride Week here in Burnaby and a ceremony to raise the Pride flag.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On July 21st, local 2S LGBTQIA+ advocacy group Burnaby Pride, along with the City of Burnaby, held an event outside of Burnaby City Hall where the Intersex Progress Pride flag was raised next to the British Columbia and Canada flags. The flag raising marks a week of celebration taking place 1 week before Burnaby's annual Pride Festival on July 26th. First to speak at the event was Burnaby City Councilor Daniel Tatro, who emphasized the city's support of Burnaby's queer community, as well as its stance against anti-2S LGBTQIA+ discrimination.
And also, just by being here today, you're showing your support. You're doing your part. And also, we here to remember that Pride is also joyous and a vibrant celebration. And a reminder that we must continue to push back against bigotry, hatred, and discrimination. And again, not just today, but every day. In our community, our differences don't divide us. They are what make us special. And I'm honored to be here, I'm honored to show my support, and I'm thrilled to see you here as well.
This sentiment was echoed by other speakers at the event, including Azza Rojbi, a coordinator for Burnaby Pride.
One of the important things we have to continue talking about is Pride started as a protest, and it is continues to be a protest. We don't have to look very far to see our rights being challenged and taken away from us, whether there is in provinces nearby here in Canada or across the border in the United States or around the world. So we have to continue, as the speaker before me, the counselor said, fighting against bigotry, challenging bigotry. And it's important for people that live in Burnaby to see that reflected in their elected officials and here at City Hall.
Lastly, Vishad Deeplaw, the Senior Manager for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion for the City of Burnaby, spoke on his personal experiences and how that led him to the City of Burnaby.
I've always looked to try and find that sense of belonging and where I felt I genuinely should be. Through my teens, growing up in South Africa, I was the obese kid, I was the kid of color, I was also the gay kid. And for the time that I grew up, it was not the best place to be. It has its challenges. Then when I wanted to marry my husband 22 years ago, we were told we could not get married because it was not legal. We then struggled to have a son, which we had to wait as well for laws to change for us to actually become parents. When we became parents, we had to fight with the idea of, firstly, not getting parental leave because there's no maternal figure. At the same time, we had to fight for the fact that some schools didn't want our son in their schooling system. Later on, we immigrated for a better life for my son, which is 8 years ago. And if anybody else here are immigrants, you know, you're then also trying to fit in once again. You're trying to find your footing. You're trying to see where you belong. But I want to share that in 2022, I joined the City of Burnaby. Today, I can share that I have found my sense of belonging. From our mayor, council, our city leadership, colleagues, from across all departments who I can also call friends, I feel seen.
At the end of the event, the Intersex Progress Pride flag was raised. Beginning this year's celebration of Pride in the City of Burnaby. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
I fought the one day I was They say you're such a bright kid, you should expect big things. They said you'll grow up fast, I guess I never did. Cause you all got to glow up, and I still look like this. So I can dress up and pretend like I am somebody else, and block every reflective surface so I can't see myself, and reinvent myself a thousand times. And no matter how hard I try to change, I'm still me.
Still Me by King Bob, the first single from their new upcoming sophomore record, still as of yet untitled. Big fan of King Bob and the previous release, Rookie. Real good working class pop punk from the host of a podcast I also love. So that helps. Before that, you heard Danny Nesvedarani's piece about the Pride flag raising ceremony for the city of Burnaby, and in a few minutes we'll be joined by a representative of the Simon Fraser Student Society to talk about their Pride Week event, which is happening today on SFU's Burnaby campus. But first, we're going to hear more from Danny. This is a piece he produced last week about a community gathering centered around transit funding and transit expansion in the Marpole neighborhood of Vancouver. As always, lots of opinions on both sides of this issue from residents and business owners and interested parties, so we'll just get right into that.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On July 14th, Movement YVR, a public transit advocacy group based in Metro Vancouver, hosted a community discussion on the city's planned increase of bus lanes on Granville Street in the Marpole neighborhood of Vancouver. The side lanes of Granville Street in Marpole are primarily used as street parking. City Council's current plan is to replace this parking with designated bus lanes. So while the current plan does not involve increasing the level of service in Marpole, it serves to boost the efficiency of current bus routes within the area. The event was hosted at the Marpole Neighborhood House and was attended by community members that were both for and against the slated expansion. Before the event, CJSF was able to speak with Dennis Agar, Executive Director of Movement YVR, to learn more about the purpose for the event, considering that this planned expansion had already been confirmed a year prior.
And it's really meant to be an open dialogue. You know, there's going to be representatives from the Business Association here. Historically, they've been a bit opposed to bus lanes on Granville. They're really concerned about the parking in front of their businesses. You know, they're really sensitive to anything that might pose a threat to their livelihoods, which is understandable. And so